I read once musicians don't retire. They stop when there's no more music in them. Well, I still have music in me. Absolutely positive about that.
What's up, everybody? It's been a long time since I have put out a podcast, but it's time I did so. This is Jeff Lawrence, Southern Man, Western Town Podcast, starting back up. I believe I'm going to start doing some regular ones again. I started thinking about doing this again because I recently promoted and created the Utah Guitar Festival, which was held December 9th of this past Saturday, December 9th at the Pearl on Main Theater in Midvale, Utah, which is, you know, a suburb of Salt Lake City. And I had 8 guitarists booked. One did not show. I'm going to go into some personal things in this podcast, and we'll talk about some things that behind the scenes type stuff. And now, if I would have had more time and realized I was even going to do a podcast again, I probably would have. I should have got live interviews when I was putting the show on. I could have interviewed everybody that was on the show, but I was wearing a lot of hats. I had to play a show. I had to play the show, play a set, 4 songs. I had to, you know, produce the show, promote the show, MC the show, and then make sure everybody was set up. And, you know, I had to run the show. So it would have just been one more headache for me. But it all ran pretty smooth, and it was really a success. I was scared. I didn't think. Sometimes these theaters, you know, they're smaller theaters. They don't, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, really. And we ended up, I wouldn't say we sold out, but it was close. It was all, like, it was pretty much full. And we did it was a great show. So what we did was had Gary Drano did 4 or 5 songs first at about 4:30. You know, PM, this was a mountain time, and I didn't think anybody would be there at 4:30. I thought everybody's going to come 6 or 7, because this thing was long. It ran from 4:30 to around 9:30. So it was kind of a long deal, and originally I did it that way, because I was going to try to do a 2-day full-on guitar festival with all kinds of vendors and things, and I didn't realize at the time of year it was December 9th. That it was probably not going to be this wisest thing. And I just had to choose that date because of a lot of the logistics. And anyway, so after Gary Drano, we were supposed to have Jenny Lee. Now, Gary Drano has been on the podcast before. If you go back and listen to past episodes, you can listen to Gary. Gary's got a lot going on. Gary is he's got a song that's doing good in the Ukraine that he wrote about the war. He's doing all kinds of stuff, man. Your live streams every Tuesday on like all the social medias with his band. Doesn't do a lot of shows anymore. Gary's, you know, past 70. He's not slowing down though. He just kind of doesn't want to do the bar thing much anymore. So he doesn't really do that much. Anyway, next I was supposed to have Jenny Lee, and she called or texted me. Well, actually sent me an Instagram message saying that she couldn't get there till like 5:15, and she was supposed to go on at 5. So I told her, I don't, you know, you're supposed to be here, you got to be here, or I don't know if I can squeeze you in. And she was kind of pissed off, and you know, it was only 15 minutes set, why can't I squeeze her in? And I told her to come on, and you know, I'll try to, and then she decided not to come, and it was kind of a mess. She's younger than all the rest of us and not as experienced. But, you know, all the other people were there. the other 7 guitarists were there ready to do their set at the right time. So I suggest if you ever have a gig, and especially if you've know about it 2-3 months in advance, plan accordingly. It's about as nice as a way I can put it. Jenny does stuff. You can check her out online. She plays here and there up in northern Utah. And then anyway, after that we had Gravel Jaw Keaton. So he was formerly the singer and one of the guitarists in a band called Poet Bones, which my band J-Law and Warhorse opened up for. No, actually, they opened up for us. It doesn't really matter. I shouldn't even say it that way. They just played before us one time at the Barbary Coast, and so I kind of knew him, but I don't think he's in the band anymore. Excuse me. And he does a really interesting thing now. He kind of loops. Excuse me, I'm dying over here. And he loops a lot of stuff. And kind of creates songs over the loops and stuff, which it's very cool. Kind of laid back, sits in like a cool looking chair, and plays like a semi hollow Gibson, and it's cool stuff, man. I like it a lot. So he played, four or five songs, something like that. And then my band went on, and we played 4 songs, which we were originally just going to play 3. And a lot of people said, Jeff, you put this show on. Why didn't you headline the show? And there's a lot of reasons I didn't headline the show. First of all, like I said, I had to do all this other kind of stuff. Second of all, I don't think I'm the best guitarist that was in the lineup. If you had caught me probably 10 years ago, I might have been further up the card. And I don't have a big enough ego where I'm going to book myself on the top of this car, especially with the amount of talent that's on it. And I would have looked like a douchebag if I would have anyway. And quite frankly, I'm just, I don't feel like I'm not as good as the guys that played after me. There was a time where I probably was, but, things come up in my life. I had to step back a little bit, and, I'm mainly in a cover band now, and I started doing less shredding kind of stuff and more other kind of things. And these other guys just kind of, they got a lot of freedom to practice a lot more than I do, and play a lot of the stuff that, really I don't, it's just not my thing anymore to do that kind of music. But so we did 4 songs, went over really good, and there was still a crowd there. The crowd, like I said, came in at 4, and it just built from there. And we took a short, intermission. Then Georgie Petrov came on. Petrov, I guess, is the best way to say his name. I believe he's Bulgarian, but he moved to Utah from New Orleans a few years back. And he's a great player. He's kind of reminding me of – he's a jazz player, basically, but he does – definitely plays in, he plays in rock bands too. He plays in Lionfish, which their Lionfish's singer is my guitarist in my CCR tribute band, Derek Wright. But Georgie, he'll kind of remind you of, reminds me of Jeff Beck, but probably more jazz than that and less rock when he does his thing. He had his trio come on and they did that. And then after that, we had Terrence Hansen. Now, Terrence Hansen's great. He's been on the podcast before. He's the guy that plays cross-neck guitar. He had just been back from Europe, European tour. Great. I mean, if you don't know who Terrence Hansen is, you just need to look it up, because he does something that no one else does. It's pretty damn incredible, really. So he did four or five songs. And then Tracy Swider came on and played to tracks. He's he kind of reminds me of Dream Theater meets Steve Morris kind of thing. I don't think he'd mind me saying that. He's he actually was Terrence's teacher, from what I understand, back in the day. He's kind of a shredder guy. I don't know if he would consider himself a shredder guy, but he definitely one of those faster rip and scale kind of players. Been around Salt Lake area for a long, long time. Was doing the instrumental thing longer than most people. He works the sound at Barbary Coast. It's kind of all links together where my band and the Poet Bones guys played out, that I was just mentioning beforehand. And only Tracy cares for my playing or me, really. But so I'm not like other people. Like, I can tell you this, and I don't want to say this in a bad way. Most of the guys on this card, I call it a card because I'm used to booking wrestling shows, but on the bill, if you will, if they were to book the show, they probably would have booked themselves on headlining. but they all deserve to be headliners. They're all great, man. They all headline everything else they do. So, I mean, it's, you know. But, yeah, it was good to have Tracy on. No matter what he thinks about my play, and I think he's a great player, and so does everybody else. He is a great player. Not really a disputing factor there. Headlining it was Zach Hale, and he was in a band called Melodramas for years. My old bass player Trevor Alder ended up playing with those guys before he moved back to Ohio, and I think they're just called Mellow, M-E-L-O. But look up Zachary Hale. It's Z-A-K-K. Always spell it wrong, but that's the right way. Zach Hale, and he reminds me of kind of like Steve Vai or something. He's a ripping guitar player. He's a singer, a great singer too. He brought his trio on, and just tore it up. He was the headlining act. I put him on a headlining act on. For one thing, I think he has a better stage presence than the rest of us. Now, Terrence Hansen has a great stage presence, but he's kind of locked down because he's singing and playing two guitar necks at the same time. But Zach has a great stage presence. He's just ripping and running around the stage. He's younger than the rest of us. When I first met him, he was just starting to teach guitar at the School of Rock, and I was just kind of finishing teaching at the School of Rock. He actually went there, and I think he took lessons from Terrence Hansen. So, like I said, all this stuff kind of ties together. But, yeah, we met at the School of Rock, and we were, like, arguing about Rush. He was like, man, the best Rush is after Moving Pictures. I was like, no, man, the best Rush is before Moving Pictures. And that's how we started. But he's a younger guy. I put a younger guy on the top of the bill on purpose. One thing, I think he's more entertaining to watch than a lot of us are. But also, he's younger. He's still young enough to go out there and make a name for himself, which I think he probably will. Sometimes that takes leaving Utah. You know, Terrence Hansen's already there. He's already, his name's out there. He tours Europe and all that. Tracy don't really try to do that anymore. He's kind of real particular about what he does and puts out. And, you know, basically I'm a cover band now outside of this show. And, you know, I still put out original music, but I don't tour anywhere. But Zach still got that fire. He may do something big yet. He's definitely talented enough to do it. And then we wrapped up around 9:15. Baldwin Guitars was there, and I got to check out his guitars. If you look up baldwinguitars.com, B-A-L-D-W, I want to say I-N, it could be Y-N, just Google Baldwin Guitars. I believe it's Orem, Utah, or Lehi, Utah, one of those. It's got to be the only Baldwin Guitars in Utah. He had these really cool guitars that he builds, kind of Telecaster, Stratish, and some of them just kind of original shapes that most of them had like P90 pickups for guitar nerds out there. They're really cool, really great work. It was good to meet him. Had a lot of people come out that I knew, a lot of people that didn't know. And what was crazy about the event was, which they didn't tell me this till 3 days before the show, that since it's around Christmas, the Midvale City closed down Main Street for their Christmas thing they do every year. And so the street the theater was on was closed, so it kind of screwed up everybody's parking a little bit. But I think overall it helped because there were so many people walking around that may not even have known what was going on there. And then they see the sign and they say, well, I got $20. Let's go in and check out the guitar festival. And the Pearl Theater did a really good job too. So that was the first annual Utah Guitar Festival that I created. You know, there's a lot of guys that's been, I mean, I've heard this from five or six other guitar players. We thought about doing this. I thought about doing a guitar festival. I thought about doing a G3 version for Utah. And, you know, originally that's what I was going to do. I was going to do a G3 version of Utah. But I was like, why just put three guys on it? I'll just do the whole damn. Well, I put three guys on doing six, you know, doing 10 songs a piece. I can put all these others on, and we'll get a little bit bigger of a thing going on here, and try to include more people. But everybody, I thought of this and I thought of that. They tell me, but I always say, well, everybody else is thinking about doing shit, I'm just doing it. I fly by the seat of my pants and just do it. It's not to say these other guys couldn't do it. A lot of them are just as busy as I am, if not busier, but I'm just the type that's, if I have an idea and I want to do it, I'm doing it. I'll figure it out later. But it was a success. Half, you know, kind of surprised, actually, that as successful as it was. And but a lot of that had to do with the guitarists that were on it. They all brought fans, and Terrence really helped create a great poster. His record company did anyway. I do want to say this. Normally, I don't throw shade on people. I'm not really trying to throw shade. I'm not doing that now. But I tried to get Nick Johnson on the show, on this lineup, and he originally agreed to do it. And he's been on my podcast, and he's a great guitarist out of Provo, Utah. And he emailed me, you know, he might be mad at me saying this out here on here, but I don't give a shit. He emailed me and said, you know, about 4 days after he agreed to do it, he's like, well, it looks like I'm the only one that's going to sell any tickets, and you're going to make all the money. And, you know, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do my own show. So I thought that was really shitty and not a good professional thing to do, and also not true. He does have a record record deal. He thought he was the only one on the card with a record deal, but Terrence and Tracy also have record deals, and obviously we did not need Nick to sell the show out because it was standing room only. Nick thought if he wasn't going to be there, no one was going to come. So that, you know, be professional, man. If you're going to do something, you're not, you know, it's not cool to do that. You know, any guitarist on the whole bill could have booked their own show at that theater. So it's about being part of something bigger than what is. Like, the Utah Guitar Festival is basically why I created it, is to celebrate guitarists that played a lot of times instrumental music, or music that you can't just go out to a club and hear. If you come to see my band in a club, you're not going to hear but maybe two of my instrumental original songs. That's it. And I've got 100 or so on iTunes and Spotify. Same thing with these other guys. Terrence has to do cover tunes at a lot of his shows. Tracy don't really do cover tunes. I think he does have one cover band that he does sometimes. But he has it. And Zach doesn't really do, you know, he does original stuff. And it's hard to get gig. It's hard to do what you want to do like that. So I wanted to create a place where you could do it. Then everybody could come out and showcase and be a part of and, you know, show what guitarists in Utah can do. You know, Utah's a big damn state. And I didn't get to include people 4 hours south of here in St. George, or not really anybody from Logan or the northern tip of Utah, and which there's great players at those places, but they couldn't, you know. The hardest part about doing this thing was paying everybody. Like, how am I going to pay all these guitar players when there's only so many seats and so many tickets you can sell? And then I have to pay the theater, I have to pay the sound guy, I have to pay the, we have to use the same drums and bass on amp on I pay those guys. And, you know, all of us probably took a cut in pay. Like, we basically made, you know, most of us made like $80 a piece, 50 days, some 50, some 80. And I paid the later guys a little more. Nobody made more than $85. And that's a fact. I don't even know if the guys that played there know that. I mean, they know what they made. They don't know what I paid everybody else, but including me. That's what I made too. I think I sold some t-shirts, so I made a couple, you know, some money that way. But we all lost money. Like, Terrence had to turn down a gig. Tracy could have made more money doing sound at the bar. I could have played a cover band show in Park City and probably made $50 more than I did. So we all took a cut in pay to do this, you know. So, and that's why I couldn't get people to come all the way 4 hours up to just, you know, make enough money to make gas money to drive back, especially in December when you don't know what the weather's going to be like. It was actually pretty nice that night. I mean, it's cold. It wasn't snowing like it could. December 9th, you can get a blizzard in Utah and it can really screw things up. So, you know, but so the, since it was successful, I'm going to have a second annual Utah Guitar Fest. I don't know when. I think it's going to be around October 5th next year, most likely. I'm not exactly sure if it's going to be in the same theater or a different theater. But I will have more info on that coming up. And, like I said, I'm going to start dropping podcasts again. And I will have more info on that. And I will probably have more guitarists, different guitarists, and maybe even turn it into a two-day thing. Hopefully some other guitar builders will come bring their guitars, and some music stores will come up, and maybe even have somebody do a seminar for other guitarists. So I'm going to build it into something bigger than it is now. But it was overall a success. If you want to go online, if I go to my Facebook page, Jeff S. Lawrence, or you can go to my TikTok, J Law Music Man. That's my Instagram too. I think TikTok's just J Law Music. You can go on to my YouTube, Jeff Lawrence Music. Or you can look up anybody on the show's pages on Instagram. You're going to see some videos of them playing. Me playing. There's videos of pretty much everybody. I don't think anybody caught videos of Gravel Jaw Keaton set. I don't think. Somebody I'm sure did, but I was busy kind of getting the show going right and worrying about why the second act, Jenny, didn't show up, and I was dealing with all that mess and I didn't get to do it. But there's pictures and stuff. And you can go on to I have a new Facebook page. That's not my personal page, but it's just called J Law Productions. Just the one I'm going to start using to promote more shows. I am going to be promoting a lot of events coming up that I'm kind of going to be moving in that more in that direction as I get older. So go to that page and you'll see some videos and pictures and stuff. Coming up soon, I'm going to have some more interviews coming up for you. I am going to, like I said, I'm going to start the podcast back up. I'm going to have some interviews coming up. I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell you who's all going to be on, but I do want to mention Myra Hall passed away. She was on the show. She was what would you say she was? I guess she was a producer. She produced a lot of shows, like a show band, like a Motown show band. She produced a Tom Petty, Stevie Nicks band that I was a part of, and a couple of other things, and sadly passed away to cancer about a month ago. And she's actually been the top listened episode of all my shows. It was interesting talking to her. She was a great person and definitely going to be missed. And just about a week ago, maybe not even quite a week, Trevor James passed away. He was a well-known bassist here in the Salt Lake area. He had done like two gigs with me back in the maybe 3-4 years ago. I think he played with a lot of different bands. Really, there was a lot of stuff going on. He used to play with the Marmalade, I believe. They were a popular band for a while, and he played with the Pranksters, I think. That's what it's called. It was a Grateful Dead tribute. But he passed away, so I did want to mention that. You know, I did want to talk about one more thing before I sign off. And this is what people don't realize about what it is to put on a show like I just put on the Good Utah Guitar Festival. I got emails from everybody in the world saying, hey, why didn't you invite this guy? Why didn't you invite me? And almost everybody that people thought should be on the show, I had asked. Now, being it close to Christmas, a lot of people had gigs, people were out of town, people had Christmas parties. There was one guy that just flat out said he didn't want to do it. But most of the other people had already stuff going on, really high paying gigs they didn't want to get out of. Probably 5 or 6 people never returned my emails or my DMs, so they just aren't good at checking them. They never even returned them. And then I got emails from people saying, hey, why is it all white guys? Old white guy boys and I'm like, and what they don't realize, and I had a woman on the show, but she didn't show up. I asked 4 other women. There's not a ton of women guitarists that can fit into this wasn't a songwriter you know, Joni Mitchell, whatever, Jewel kind of thing. And there's a lot of women that do that, you know, country solo stuff. There's not a lot of women that like shred electric guitar in Utah that I know of, but I do know four or five, and I contacted all of them. They all had something going on. Same emails were like, why aren't there any trans women or trans men or anybody from the LGBTQ community? And there's two reasons for that. First of all, I did ask a very good friend of mine, Sophia Scott, who was on the podcast, who is a trans woman, who I thought would have been great at the show, but I think she was a little hesitant about doing it. I don't know why. Maybe just didn't want to, or didn't really have the instrumental stuff, or I don't know why. It doesn't matter. But I did ask, and I wish they would have done it. They just chose not to. And a lot of it, I don't ask musicians what their sexual orientation is. I don't know who's gay and who not. I don't. Some of the people on the show could be gay. I don't know. I don't ask them. I don't care. They don't ask me. I don't ask them. I don't give a shit if they. I mean, I guess sometimes it's kind of more evident than not, and or some people wear it on their sleeves and you just know. But I mean, I don't ask, and then, you know, I don't ask people what their orientation is, but I did ask, like I said, four or five different female guitarists that couldn't do it. I asked a trans woman guitarist that couldn't do it. I also got things like, why isn't there any people from the African-American community, or you know, that kind of thing. And I was, first of all, we live in Utah. I'm not saying there ain't any African-Americans here, because of course there is. But it's not like where I'm from in Atlanta, Georgia, where I know 200 African-American guitarists. So here in Utah, I know zero African-American guitarists. I know African-American bassists and drummers and trumpet players and trombone players. I just don't happen to know. I think I know one African-American guitarist that plays at a Baptist church, and there's no way he was going to do this show anyhow. And I don't really know him. I don't even know how to get a hold of him. I just, you know, I was happened to play with him at a church once, so that wasn't a big option. I did ask an Asian guy, and he flat out turned me down. He said, I just don't want to do it. And he's one of the best guitarists in Utah. I did have a guy from Bulgaria on there. I did have a Jewish guy, Gary Drano, and, you know, a Jewish guy opened the show. I mean, there was diversity there as good as I could make it happen. From the outside, it looks like, you know, Jeff just put together seven old white dudes to play a show. That's not what happened. And all the people I asked know this. They'll all stand up and tell you that I asked them. They know that I'm not that way. There was a lady named Amanda Jones, or maybe it's Amanda Johnson. She's changed her name because she got married, and they're so close together, I get them mixed up. But I think it's Amanda Jones, and she just kills it on guitar. I mean, she's one of the best guitarists I've ever seen, but she was busy. And same thing with the Mothers of Mayhem that had been on here. Their guitarist was busy. She rips on guitar and couldn't do it. Now, I'm thinking about soon having a Americana, like, songwriter festival, too. And that's going to be, that'll be a lot more diverse, I'm sure. You know, this is just a certain genre of guitar. It's like guitar nerd, just like Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Yngwie Malmsteen type stuff. And I don't make the rules. There's just not a million women that kind of, you know, I guess, diversity in that genre. I don't know why. I mean, especially in Utah, that's the thing about it. It's not like we're in Los Angeles or, like I said, Atlanta or Philadelphia or, you know, New York or Chicago. We're in Salt Lake City, land of the white Mormon people. That's just the way it is. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, so in case anybody else, maybe, you know, people know, know that. Now, if you reached out to me and said, why ain't I on the show? Either your name don't come up in conversation when I'm talking, when I talk to other guitarists about other guitarists, you know how we are, we talk, your name didn't come up, or I just don't know you, haven't seen you. But if you want to be on next year's show, please contact me, JeffLawrenceGroup@gmail.com. You can always go to my website, www.thejslawrence.com. And I believe I own thejefflawrence.com now, too. So you can contact me, and I'll be glad to put you on the show. I'll listen to you, and if you fit the genre, and then you're on. No problemo. All right, but yeah, I just wanted to update this episode, update the podcast. It's been so long since I put out one. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to do it again, but I think I've had enough people ask about it, and it's been pretty successful the whole year. You know, you get those Spotify raps, the whole year has been still successful, and I haven't even put one out. So let's get rolling with it again, but I'll see you all next time, and see you keep playing and keep listening. Thank you all.